Welcome to The Business Show. We believe that our journey through this world is one we must take together, expanding, learning, and growing as a united force. We know that history is being made right now, and the decisions we make today will shape our tomorrow. These decisions will not only impact us, but will define the future for generations to come. If we don't make the right choices now, we risk creating a future we don't want. That's why we're here, to slay the dragons of the modern world and to face the challenges it brings head on. The future demands that we come together to tackle these challenges, and the only way forward is through unity and collaboration. Let's rise together, undivided but united.
Hey Han, quick question. What is your views on China and USA tariff situation? I'm watching CNN now and I'm just like watching all of this unfolding. And it seems like all of these tariffs raised after exports released to Global South. My goodness, is this true? What is your views?
Hi. I think I have so much to say. I think that from a sort of broader macroeconomic perspective, I think it's very, very suspicious, I suppose, that everything that Donald Trump seems to be doing from an economic perspective leads towards creating uncertainty in the market. And uncertainty in the market is what creates devaluation of the economy. Now, when an economy devalues, everybody knows the word recession. So essentially, when an economy devalues, the economy gets pushed into a recession. And for wealthy people and for capital holders, a recession is the best time to invest in the economy. So it makes sense to obviously buy stocks and buy shares and buy bonds and buy all of those sort of capital assets when they're cheap. And at a macroeconomic scale, those things become cheap when the economy is in a recession or when the economy is devalued. So that's super interesting for me to watch happening, because it seems that the flip-flopping, the constant changing of the minds, the erratic comments that he makes, all of those things leads towards creating uncertainty. And that uncertainty is what creates devaluation. On the other hand of the coin, though, or it's not even the other hand of the same coin, it's like what also needs to be considered is that if he is systematically trying to devalue the American economy, which sounds like a bad thing, right? But for wealthy people, it's not a bad thing, like I said. It's the best time for wealthy people to buy more assets, to increase their investment. It's a bad thing. Economic devaluation is a bad thing for poor people, for people that are not wealthy. But anyways, if his intention is to devalue the economy by imposing these ridiculous tariffs and creating all of this uncertainty, and he wants to move manufacturing to the US, what's really interesting to note is that the other wealthy people in the economy around him are all sort of invested in technology, invested in artificial intelligence, invested in these sort of super tech-based industries. And so what's interesting to consider is that when those manufacturing jobs, or if those manufacturing jobs move to the US, it's very unlikely that the ordinary Joe on the street is going to get a job in those factories, because to make an iPhone is a highly skilled job, even if you're a factory worker, right? And China has built those skills over decades to equip their sort of bottom tier blue collar workers with the right skills to assemble those high tech products. So what I'm thinking is that if those manufacturing jobs, if those manufacturing facilities do move to the US, it's very likely that these tech billionaires are going to be building sort of automated AI-induced robotic manufacturing facilities, because that's probably the only way they could mimic the quality of product that is coming out of China with all of these highly skilled individuals. So that's really interesting to understand. What's also really interesting to understand is, I think in all of this, I wonder if the US has underestimated the power and the potential of the rest of the world. Because in all of this stuff, if my sort of mild conspiracy theory is true, in all of this, the one thing that they haven't considered in their strategy is the economic power and the economic will of the rest of the world. It was almost as though they assumed that everybody else will just sit back and take it, and that's not what's happening. So that's just kind of my take. The long and short of it, though, is what we're seeing happening in the markets is that the dollar is extremely volatile. So historically, when we looked at currency and exchange rates and stuff, we would look at the dollar as being stable and all of the other currencies fluctuate. So when the rand moved up and down, it was typically because of something that, you know, our government did or our economy did. What we're seeing now is that it's the rand that's stable, but the dollar is moving up and down, which is what, because of the decisions that have been made, because of the comments that have been made, because of the perception that's created around uncertainty. So that's really, really interesting to watch and witness. And I think what in that kind of fluctuation is what sort of cemented for the rest of the world that, you know, the dollar is not going to be stable just because it's the dollar. It's that the dollar acts just like every other currency in the world, even though it might take a real shock to make it move. But it's positive. That's positive for me. And I think in the whole grand scheme of everything, I mean, in 5 years' time, we're going to be looking back at this time and like chuckling about it, because our economy did need it. Our economy, as in the global economy, did need a big shakeup. It did need a big shakeup. We would always talk about how the systems are broken, but we could never actually pinpoint what in the system is broken. And I think everything that's happening now is showing us exactly what in the system is broken. And once you've identified the problem, it's easier to fix. So I think all in all, I think if we just maintain a positive outlook, even though, you know, the world seems to be going crazy, it's just because the things that we already instinctively knew are being surfaced and given, are being surfaced and are actually like being brought to the light. And sometimes, you know, it's like when, the only analogy is it's like it has to be brought to the light. Just like, you know, being pregnant, the baby's inside and you can sort of just guess what it looks like and you can feel it there, but it's not really real until it's born. I think that's the same kind of an analogy here. It's like all the discomfort that we felt in the past around the system being broken was theoretical. And I think that now that everything is surfacing, it's like a real opportunity for us to just deal with the real problems.
You know, Kalnisha, this is such a profound insight. I remember when we did the webinar series with Dr. Adriana Murray and Dr. Sana Ngidi about in order for the system to change, the language needs to change. And in that discussion, we were talking about how the system is broken and how we need to start building these parallel systems. And I'm wondering, because it almost feels like that conversation was so freaking advanced in comparison to this moment that we're living in now. It's almost like we were prophetic in having that webinar. What I wanted to ask you is, based on that conversation that we've had around the system that is broken, but also another conversation you and I've had was around consumerism and the lack of sustainability, the greenwashing, the unethical behavior of companies that are starting to come to the, you know, to the light. What is your view in terms of what is about to happen? Because we're seeing a lot of corporate unrest happening in the world and, you know, boycotting happening. What is your perspective in how there's going to be this shift in the next couple of years? And how do we as ordinary citizens actually pay attention and vote with our wallet and really just stay focused and handle these times with strategy?
Comms, I think you asked such a layered question, and I think before we answer what is to come, I think it's really important to reflect on how did we end up here, right? So the current kind of economic world order was, I don't know, designed, if you can call it designed, after World War II, where because of its relative strength, because of its role in sort of supporting the Allies and its role in World War II, the USA became the sort of custodian, in inverted commas, of the global economy. That's where it was kind of decided that the dollar would be, used as the peg for other currencies, just because at that point in time, the USA was strong, was in, from an industrial perspective, from a, you know, a global perception perspective. The USA in 1944 had the largest amount of gold reserves in the world, and based on that fact, the dollar was deemed the most powerful currency in the world. And since, think about it, right? Since 1944, the united perception of all kind of global economies has just remained pinned on that thought that the US currency, the dollar, is the strongest currency in the world. What's happening now is that we're realizing, just because of all of the chaos that's happening in the marketplace, right? We are kind of realizing that our perceptions might be ill-conceived. You know, our opinions might be a little bit flawed. And that kind of just happens in how humans interact with each other, right? You know, you have a certain opinion about somebody, and then something happens and you change that opinion. And I think that's kind of happening right now on a global scale, which is wonderful. It's wonderful because it's just like, you know, when you're a kid and you start losing your teeth, the tooth first is a little bit wobbly, and then you wobble it some more, and then you wobble it some more, and eventually, if you wobble it enough, it comes out quite effortlessly. I think that's what's happening right now with the global economy. It's like the perceptions were wrong. We realize this. There have been a number of economic crises on a global scale, a lot of local economic crises that are fueled by, you know, economic uncertainty that's either because of directly or indirectly actions of the US. I mean, the US put pressure on Saudi Arabia, for example, to make sure or sell all its oil in dollars. And so the whole world started selling oil in dollars. It's just these sort of bully tactics that have happened over the years that are now kind of unraveling, which is, again, like I said, wonderful. From a consumerism perspective, and I think that's where it gets really, really interesting, because I think for most households, we don't really realize the impact of global economics or global politics on what goes on a day-to-day basis. And I think that what consumers are going to realize very, very quickly, and also because we've become direct consumers over the last few years, instead of, you know, going to a retailer or to a shop physically to buy stuff, we order stuff online. You see the sort of global expansion of the fast fashion brands that are selling directly to consumers out of China, as an example, and people are just consuming more than they ever have ever before. And what's going to happen now as a result of the sort of volatility in the global market is that consumers are going to be less likely to spontaneously shop online, right? Because if you don't know what the tariff's going to be, you don't know what your landing costs are going to be. So the prices you pay are not or the prices that you see advertised are not necessarily going to be the same as the prices you pay. You are going to be more hesitant about spending that money. And so we are very, very likely to see that consumption activity is going to reduce. The global reduction of fast fashion, as an example, it will have a net positive outcome on the world, right? If we are demanding less fast fashion and we're producing less fast fashion, then there's less dumping, there's less water consumption, there's less all of that negative stuff that comes with the whole fast fashion ecosystem. And that's something really positive to look forward to. And the same goes for pretty much everything else. I mean, I think that over the years, people have followed trends like, you know, getting the latest devices as soon as they're released and things like that. What's going to happen now with all of these tariffs, with the shifting in manufacturing and things like that, is that electronic goods, for example, are going to become a lot more expensive in the short run. So people are going to be less likely to wait in line to buy the latest device just because they can't afford it anymore. And so what we're going to see as a result of that is less dumping activities, less waste, less discarding of things just because they're, you know, an older model. We might see, and I'm really hoping that we see a renewal or a revival of the sort of repair rather than replace consumer narrative. We might see electronics companies in the short term being encouraged towards allowing for their devices to be repaired rather than force a replacement. And so I think those are like net positive things. And I think for consumers who are, or for all of us, all of our households, right, at a household level, we can get a little bit overwhelmed by the news, by the activity, by, you know, the seeming chaos that's reigning all over social media about what's going on in the world. I think if we just remain grounded and rooted and remember, you know, some of the lessons of old, you know, take care of your stuff, maybe plant a garden so that you're not reliant on you know, global supply chains for your dinner tonight. I think, I mean, we can all sort of weather the waves here and ride it out, and we will be better for it come tomorrow.
Morning, honey. You hope you had a good night's rest. I've just woken up and my voice is a bit husky, so excuse me. But listen, I have to tell you, this is very, yeah, you're right, it's very exciting. I think reflecting upon what you've just said, I think what's interesting to me is the cause and effect and the ripple effect of bad intended policies and bad intentions and the positive impact that this also leads to. I think one thing for sure is those days of looking at complexity from one lens is over, because you just like massive interconnectedness within our systems. I mean, I'm very excited about you know, the changes that we're going to see, but I often very skeptical about the manufacturing, for example, around electronics. I don't know if you watched that that series on Netflix where they were talking about what is it called? Just give me a second, I need to think. It's the Buy Now documentary. And in there, they were talking about how electronics are deliberately designed that you can't repair them. And that, to me, is the part of where the system also needs to change. And it will be interesting to see how this is now also, you know, speaking to your theory of repair rather than replace, you know, how also electronic waste is going to be treated now. I mean, I can tell you, for example, with hubby and I, like, we decided we're not going to upgrade our phones, our contracts this year. We can wait another 2 years. You know what I mean? And ride this wave out. Do we really need another phone, state of the art? I mean, like, seriously. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm very excited, but it's also, yeah, I think, as you say, it's like, let's remain grounded. But I want to say, this has been a fascinating conversation. I think that we need to put it on a podcast. I will try and mash it up if you're okay with that. And yeah, let's share this. This is amazing. Thank you so much for always entertaining my curiosity. Like, seriously, it really serves to have an economist as a friend. I'm telling you, it really helps her make more context out of things beyond the surface.
Fascinating. Anyway, love you, Wu. Bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.